flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everyone. Welcome into the 4 o'clock hour. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, Gwynn and Chris. Chris versus the fans up next. 833-288-0973 if you want to take down Mr. Ello. Among the things that we have covered today, Jerickson Profar, no longer a free agent now. And Atlanta Brave.
Boo.
Three years, $42 million. He'll start at 12. He'll get to 15. He gets the bag. Padres lose an outfielder. Another hole is created.
If you want to hear our thoughts on all of that, it was basically just a depression segment at the opening of the show, because it happened like a minute before we went on the air.
It did. So.
Yeah, it did. Literally, as we were walking in, setting up,
right,
our phones go off. So, Jerickson Profar, an Atlanta Brave. We finally get to hear from Mark Andrews, the tight end of the Baltimore Ravens, who had a key fumble and a couple of drops, including a two-point conversion that would have tied the game to send it to OT, finally spoke. And he did it via Instagram. Even though the shock and disappointment are unlike anything I've ever felt, I refuse to let the situation define me. I promise that this adversity will only make me stronger and fuel us as we move forward. He did not speak to reporters after the game. He did not speak, I think, in their
Monday their wrap-up
meetings, which is uncharacteristic for Mark Andrews. He's been a guy who, earlier in the year, when he wasn't catching any balls, stood in front of his locker. This one clearly hit different. I don't mind this one. Like, it's
Cam
not
Newton
professional.
Offended.
Huh?
Cam Newton was offended by him not talking to the media.
Yeah, easy does it, Cam. Pick up that fumble, will you?
He's also on our side of the things now, so he needs something to talk about.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, he finally got a chance to speak, and he said what I think we all figured he was going to say.
You know, when I'm thinking it real quick, and then we got to get to it, I know, Scraby, but when they talk about Mark Andrews in this, it makes me realize that I'm not that psychotic of a fan. My wife thinks I am. You know, Robbie Scraby's family thinks he's a little crazy with the 49ers.
I yell a lot, yeah.
But have we ever sent a death threat?
No.
I mean, come on.
That's a great point. That's a great point for both of you guys. Yeah.
Death threats to these guys.
Yeah. It never even, like, it'd been a thought.
No.
Like, I've never gone to their account like, should I?
Scraby maybe has. I don't know.
Like, talk yourself out of sending something?
No, I have never sent an athlete or an actor or actress anything
That's a great
rude
point.
Like that.
I mean, we hear about those type of things on a daily basis.
Honey, you got to get a better attitude. Look, I didn't send a death threat.
Yeah, you could be that guy.
That's the bar right now.
Yeah.
Don't send death threats. You won't be a crazy fan. All right, let's get to some Chris versus the fan.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy, he's dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, everyone. The prize. Got to get back to it. You will be qualified for a chance to win our grand prize, a trip to Las Vegas to see, with Jerickson Profar leaving, I can't do it today. Scorpions, yeah. On August 14th.
You don't have it in you?
I don't. Plus a two-night stay at Planet Hollywood and a $100 gas card. Scorpions return with their 60 years of the Scorpions Las Vegas residency show, live August 14th through the 23rd at PH Live at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. The rules. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Chris gets it right, you are eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know. That was very beautiful. Let us know before you get into the first question, and you will get that question for free.
Word up. Let's get to our first contestant then, Mr. Scraby.
You know, I don't know that we've ever had Dale on before.
Welcome to the show, Dale. It's first time?
Second time.
Okay.
I won the first time, and Scraby never sent me my prize to go to the rugby.
Well, I'm not responsible for sending the prizes, but I will check in with that, because that's not cool.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
Well, we have to see if we can take care of that.
Yes. Definitely.
All right, Dale, let's get to the first question.
Dale, you're playing for absolutely nothing.
You know what? Actually, I really enjoyed those rugby seats, guys.
Yeah. Did you have a good time in the game?
I did.
Good.
All right. What was the name of the McDonald's character that stole hamburgers in the 1970s advertising campaign?
Love this guy.
Oh, my gosh. That was a tough one.
You
the
know.
The burglar.
Oh, no,
Dale.
Right. He's the Hamburglar.
I love that.
And Mayor McCheese and all the rest of them.
The Hamburglar was legit.
Hamburglar was legit.
Sorry, Dale.
Dale, stay there. I'm going to come find you.
Yeah, we'll get you, Dale, and get you something, Dale. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's not
cool.
That
shouldn't happen.
No, it shouldn't. Let's go to our next contestant. Let's go to Steve.
Hello, Steve. Happy Thursday.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Good.
Here we go. First question. Which fast food chain was founded by Dave Thomas?
Wendy's.
Hey, oh, that was quick. I like it.
Yeah, where's the beef?
Question number two. Square patties.
Yeah.
Their fries, hot take.
You like them?
Best in fast food.
I never liked the square patty.
I'm with you on the square patty.
Couldn't get into it.
I don't know why, but it don't taste the same as the circle
patty. Didn't work to me. Sorry, okay. Wendy.
It's a shape. It doesn't change the meat, though.
Would you eat a chicken leg that was shaped like
a square?
Octagon or something?
I would never eat a chicken leg to begin with. All right, here we go, Steve. No, I don't eat stuff off the bone.
Oh, that's right. That's
disgusting.
Crazy.
It makes me want to.
Boy, you are making a hell of a strong point there, Mr. Give me the meat.
That's me if I eat off of a bone.
Question two. What team did C.C. Sabathia play the most seasons for in his career?
Yankees.
Nice job.
Indeed.
Played a lot with the tribe as well.
Yeah, I think it was 11 seasons with the Yankees.
He was with them for a while.
He told a great story on his interview with Chris Young. I'll share with you guys about how he did not want to sign with the Yankees. He tried everything not to sign with the Yankees.
Really?
I'll explain to you how true that was. Question number three.
For the win.
Which two quarterbacks... Wait, what? What is this? What is you trying to say in...
Oh. There. Not good.
Which two quarterbacks led the NFL in interceptions in 2024?
So you're saying they tied for the title.
They tied for the most interceptions.
Yes.
All right.
I'll go Daniel Jones and Jameis Winston.
Those are not bad guesses at all.
Stay there, Steve. They're not correct.
Though.
Stay there, Steve.
One guy, well, nobody has to because I don't know this, but Kirk Cousins was on a terrific roll of interceptions for a while.
He probably would have led if they didn't take him out the last couple of games.
Oh, that's true. Well, I don't know if I should go with him. How about Kirk Cousins and Jameis Winston? Jameis had a lot.
He did.
Yeah.
Stay
Not
there,
enough.
Steve. You are
Steve
the winner. Winner.
Steve, you the winner.
This is shocking to me.
Well, the only start the whole season.
Yeah. Oh, right.
He came did, in
yeah,
later.
He, per game, he was probably the leader.
Definitely per game. Kirk Cousins is one of them. The other?
Kirk is one of them. Okay.
Baker Mayfield.
Oh, really? I did not realize Baker threw so many.
He had 40 tubs, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
I think he had 40. So
40 what?
Touchdowns.
Touchdowns.
Sorry.
I hadn't heard that one before. But.
Tubs?
Yeah. Nevertheless, nice work. Hang on the line. Scraby will get to you in a second.
Yes.
We got a few minutes remaining here. I told you about the CC Sabathia story.
Wait, real quick. I'm sorry before you get to it. I looked this up. George Blanda holds the record most interceptions in a season. 42.
Wow.
I mean, Jameis had,
and they kept
30?
Running him out there, too, huh?
I guess the passing game has improved since the those days.
Wasn't Jameis Winston a 30-30 guy? 30 TDs, 30 interceptions?
Yeah. George Blanda's in the Hall
of
Fame, by
the way.
He
definitely was that.
George Blanda's in the Hall of Fame, despite
with
42 picks. Anyway, go ahead with CeCe.
42 picks.
CeCe did not want to sign with the Yankees, and I know this because I remember as we were, and I say we, the Brewers, were trying to make the playoffs that year. I remember in September standing in center field with him, and he knew at that point the Yankees were gonna come after him. And he was like, I do not want to play in New York at all. Like, he wanted to play on the West Coast. He's from California. He had only played in Cleveland and Milwaukee. He wanted to get back west. And I remember telling him, I'm like, because at the time the rumor was you're gonna get a bag. You're gonna get a lot of money. I was like, yeah, man, I feel you on not wanting to play for Yankees, but how can you turn that kind of money down, man? It just doesn't seem like you could like feasibly just say nah and sign someplace else for less. Like, this is, I get it. You want to, you know. Most West Coasters want to be on the West Coast, but he didn't. He really did not want to sign. And he kind of tells that story with the sit-down interview he did with Chris Young, I thought was done very, very well. So, that being said, let's get to break. Morgan and Chris on
how much money did he get? I'm trying to think.
I can't remember. It's so scrambled now because the numbers are so big.
Right. He probably got $4 million, but it was a lot at the time.
That was like the record breaker.
Morgan and Chris on the other side. There's some traffic.
Hi, welcome back. Congratulations to Steve out there. He wins Chris versus the Fans today. But just ask Dale, Steve. You're probably not going to get any prize at all. No, Scraby did get on the line with Dale and try to make that right. So.
Scraby has taken all the prizes for himself.
Yeah, I didn't realize. I did not realize.
How do you think I have these new clothes all the time?
Yes.
They're selling the all
same,
these tickets.
Well, it's either that, black shirt, it's either that or my San Diego State stuff I gave you.
Yeah. See? I'm not selling the tickets. I wear hand-me-down stuff.
He does wear hand-me-down stuff. All right. If you're just tuned in, the big deal today, as far as we're all concerned, is that Jerks and Profar is an Atlanta year $42 million deal. If you want to hear all our whining and crying and complaining about it, and Tony was pretty, hung with it. I complained, Scraby whined, and
so you got the three stages of,
go back,
of
yeah,
grief,
right, right? Yeah, grief, right? We did all the grief. It happened right before we went on the air, and so we came on the air and we're like, ah!
In real time, right?
In real time. So if you want to hear that, to go back to the 2 o'clock hour, Gwen and Chris, search that, 97.3 The Fan SD.
Go to YouTube.com,
YouTube. Yeah, you can find our reaction to this. But we have decided now, basically, that since Sasaki is a Dodger and Tanner Scott's a Dodger, and Kirby Yates is going to be a Dodger, and Teoscar returning.
I mean, you could go
Blake
on for
Snell.
Days.
Yeah, I know. We almost don't have enough time in the segment. And so they're running away with everything in terms of the offseason. Scraby and I, Tony, I don't think is in on this yet, but we may be able to get him in on it eventually. Scraby and I have decided that the only way we're going to be able to take down the Dodgers is to find a loophole somewhere that Ohtani actually did gamble all that money.
Yeah.
And if we can bring Ohtani down, maybe we would be responsible for the collapse of the Dodgers empire.
I think we would have a statue built of us.
We are trying.
Yes.
And so to that end, Scraby, doing a little digging, is just coming up with some stuff here from the Department of Justice.
DOJ.
I mean, this is serious.
I guess.
So The Athletic just came out with this article. You can go online and read it all, but it's pretty crazy. And the DOJ, the Department of Justice, even released a phone call of Ipe to a bank.
All right, tell everybody who Ipe is.
Ipe Mizuhara is Shohei Ohtani's translator who was
the guy who's taken the fall he's taken the fall for Ohtani's transgressions, yes. Right, Scraby? Yeah. Isn't that the way to describe
it?
Is that the way to describe it?
He's
going to prison for Shohei.
That's what's happening.
Yeah. What was the word that Oswald used?
He's a patsy.
I'm a patsy.
Yeah, he's a patsy.
Right.
That's exactly what Ipe is.
Right.
Because then when they did the investigation with Shohei, they said, Mr. Ohtani, did you have anything to do with this gambling? No? Okay. Case closed. And just walked away. So
I can tell you that is not how people were moving in Korea when that news started to come down.
I wish I was there.
They were moving around like they didn't know what was about to happen.
Tony was just like texting us, man, people are scurrying about. Anyway. So they released this audio, and we're not going to play the full thing because it's 4 minutes, but here is a little bit of Ipe calling into a bank, apparently.
As Ohtani. He's claiming to be Ohtani.
And then, you'll hear.
Thank you for calling. Line fraud. This call may be monitored and recorded. Who am I speaking with?
Shohei Ohtani.
Thank you. How may I help you?
So I tried to log in to online banking, and it told me that it's not available to me at this time, and I need a call.
Sure, I can take a look into that. I can take a look into that for you.
So that's basically what it is him trying to be Shohei Ohtani and him basically
I can't log in a way to try to get whatever code he needed to log in as Shohei Ohtani.
So he can pay off some of that debt he had.
Yeah. Either that... Or that really was Shohei Ohtani, and he forgot his code.
That could be true.
if indeed Decoy1
is his password.
If that is indeed him, he would fit into the voice doesn't match body group.
True that. You know, true that. But Rob Dave
Beck,
Stewart.
Rob Beck, Dave
Stewart.
I'll bring
Stewart. Up Dave Stewart on that they, one.
That's what I'm saying. He would fit into that category of guys.
Yeah, voice doesn't matter.
Here's some more of it, but we're not going to play it. I'll read it because there's a transcript. The agent then asked for details about the transaction. Quote, now recently we've come across a trend of fraud and scams. So we have been monitoring the online transactions
closely. So they were already on it.
To make sure our clients are not the victim of either. What is the reason for this transaction? Ipe says a car loan. The agent asks, what is your relationship to the payee? Ipe says, he's my friend. The agent says, have you met your friend in person? He says, yes. Is there going to be any future wires to your friend? Possibly. And then the silence parts that you hear in the audio is them removing names of the bank and things like that. But, I mean...
So the bank was clearly... The antennas were going up based on the transactions that were happening.
Right.
That call center manager is like... Oh my gosh, we did our job.
Yeah, exactly.
As
the DOJ released this, they got word of it. Like, oh man.
Can you imagine if you're the person that's on this phone now with Ipe and
what is it?
Follow protocol, please.
Hang on, I'm having a dart. What'd you say?
I'm having a dart. But yeah, it doesn't change my opinion.
It really doesn't change anything.
No.
It seems more damning actually for Ipe than it was before. But it's fun to... We can dream, can't we?
You know, there are deepfakes
out there. They come up with some long-lost evidence that puts the hit on Ohtani, knocks him out of baseball for 2 or 3 seasons, and then, how'd you like your choice now, Sasaki?
You know, Sasaki's just going to get caught up in this whole gambling ring that's going on in the Dodgers clubhouse.
Goodness.
I heard that when players walk in, Shohei says, you have to bet me $100 in this dice game right here.
Oh, he's playing dice?
Yeah, he's playing dice, and he says, you have to give me $100.
No, he doesn't play dice. I've seen Ohtani on film.
Oh, what's that?
In the Netflix special.
Okay.
He's flipping quarters against the door against the ushers.
Oh, he's doing the Michael Jordan
thing. Yeah. Jordan was gambling. How much money was he betting that guy that he could flip a quarter closer to the door?
That is...
Jordan was... He had an issue as well.
A little bit. He had a competitive issue,
he did.
Apparently.
You know the only person that's benefiting from Ipe going to jail other than Shohei? is the new translator for the Dodgers.
Man.
Because he got a
his
promotion.
His promotion is just, that's next level.
He was right just there. Like a random team guy,
and you
right?
All, and yeah, he'd been in the organization for a while, and you can already see whatever the promotion was. I saw him standing next to, I think it was Sasaki.
Yeah, it was.
Nice suit. Clean.
All right.
Definitely custom.
That's kind of custom.
Definitely custom. It's
the kind of thing you need if you're going to go place bets for somebody.
Absolutely.
You got to look the part of a rich person.
All right. Anyway, that's the baseball news today. Profar, a Brave. 3-year, $42 million. Padres options. We mentioned some of the names that are still out there. Yeah, in the free agency world, it seems the best name is Alex Verdugo of the Yankees for left field. And I mentioned a pitcher that
I liked. Yeah, let's talk about it.
Down the road, we don't have enough time, but there's a long list of pitchers that are still available, of course. But I'm not looking for the top guy because those are the guys that are going to cost too much money. I was looking way down the road here. Former Astro, and I think he pitched pretty well in the World Series for them a couple of years ago, Jose Urquidy.
Yeah.
30 years old, had a 0.2 WAR last year, which is means he's pretty much off the radar. Seemed like you might be able to get. I don't know because I don't scout and see how the guy, you know, the guy is throwing. I just know that he was a pretty good looking pitcher to me a couple years ago, and I might be able to get him.
For whatever reason, he could never crack that rotation because
yeah,
they were so.
Just
yeah,
on
he
the,
was just fifth or sixth
looking
starter.
In.
So I mean, you when you said that, that's a really good name. If assuming he's healthy, of course.
Right, you don't know if he's healthy.
Right, I think that would be a great pickup for them.
Well, Scraby wants Alcantara, which
I'll take him too.
We want him too.
I want to talk to Alcantara.
I'm trying to come up with a name that is actually feasible.
Yeah.
That is, Alcantara, I think it's Alcantara or Alcantara.
No,
whatever.
Alcantara.
He accepts Alcantara.
Alcantara, okay, we'll go with Alcantara. I think it's doable.
I liked it better when you went, Big Five is next, people.
4:35 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matthew Scraby. Talking a Big Five. A lot of Hall of Fame topics. Seems like we're going to be.
Yes.
Kind
some
of
good questions,
over.
I believe.
Oh, you think so?
Who came up with them?
Who came up with these questions? You're looking at them right here.
All right. A little bigging yourself up a little bit, huh? You think you got
some... myself on
there
the back
go.
For these questions.
There you go.
I don't have a question number one, so that's why I'm trying to.
Shoulder's obviously feeling better now that you
shoulder
can reach back
like that. Shoulder's definitely.
You couldn't do that there for a
oh,
while.
Oh, no. And
it was really tough when you couldn't pat yourself on the back for like 6 months.
It was really hard.
I know. What did you do?
I just sat in silence and cried.
No,
when I played golf the other day, woke up the next morning.
Nothing.
No pain.
Are you still doing rehab?
No, I'm done.
Are you doing stuff
on
your own?
I'm doing stuff for myself.
Let's be honest. How often
are you? Three times a week.
You're actually doing it?
Yes, I have the bands in my room, so I get out of bed or before I go to bed, and I step on the band, and I do these like raises.
A little diligent.
Yeah.
Now, does Lucky allow you to do your work without bothering you?
Yeah, he just sleeps in his little bed, and we're a happy little family, apparently.
Good for you, Scrape.
Thanks.
All right, before we hop into the Big Five, let's probably check traffic.
Okay. Yes. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, no.
No, we need it.
Not traffic.
Not traffic just yet.
All right. So should we hop into the Big Five and check some traffic in between?
I think that's a great idea, Tony.
Let's
do it. Seems like we're on time all day today, and I don't think our producer of the show is quite
used to this. No. Usually we would carry this for another 4 to 7
usually
minutes.
We haven't gotten to break till now.
It's like 3:47, and I'm just sitting there like, just with this angry look on my face. But we'll check in on traffic, because I know the fires, there's some fires out there, so I know people want to hear it, but we'll start with this. All right. So with all of that said, traffic's ready, guys. We'll play it now.
From the 855 Get Ross Traffic Center, protecting San Diego after accidents or injury, here's Kelly Danik.
Yet another brush fire has had fire crews busy, but they knocked this one out in La Jolla, Gilman and Via Alicante. Now, you're going to find the Gilman off-ramps, both north and southbound 5, still blocked as they get handled on things, put out any hot spots, do some cleanup. So if you don't really take the Gilman off-ramp north or southbound 5, you need a backup plan. Also, on southbound 15 before Market Street, crash blocking the right lane. Looks like there is a fuel leak thrown into the mix. East 8 before Mission Gorge, crash over the right shoulder. Also, East 8 past Lake Jennings. Vehicle went down the right shoulder embankment. Couple problems along North 15 in the North County. Crash before Poway Road. Two vehicles over the right shoulder. And up ahead before the 78, car and motorcycle involved in a tangle. Two left lanes are blocked. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station. 97.3, The Fan.
Number five.
You came out the gate ready.
Smooth. Told you. When I'm ready, I'm ready.
All right, go.
There you go.
Followed up.
I have to do this first. If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla for dining or takeout options. Visit Spiro's.
Did your readiness allow you to create a question number one yet?
We'll get there.
Oh, okay. One quick thing. Do you guys think we're in the about due for a Spiro's feast around here?
Yeah. I think we are. I think we are.
You've been staying on your
I have, actually.
Program?
Actually, I told everybody yesterday during my diet or my ad that Carly, our salesperson, saw me and she goes, "Oh my God, you look so good.
It's working."
And I was like, "You know what?
Give yourself another one.
Pat on the back. Pat on the back."
You keep doing this, you're going to be right back on the operating table.
You're probably right about that. More and more reports are coming out, and Jake Gariani of CBS 8 said earlier, it seems like there is a pretty good chance the Genesis is going to be coming to Torrey Pines because it can't be played in L.A. Jason Day was asked about it coming to San Diego, and he said he's all for it. The golf course is great. The infrastructure is there. But then he said, quote, "It just depends on if the city wants to hold it and what that would look like," end quote. To me, not a question. I'm not signing the checks of the people that work these things, though.
Word up.
Tony, if the city of San Diego turns this down, do we rage?
Do we rage? Maybe.
Rage. Anarchy in the streets?
What kind of rage?
Couple
tweets?
Oh, more than a couple
tweets.
Okay,
so what kind of rage are we talking?
On this show, we will crush the people who made the decision to turn it away.
Listen, what I will say is there's a chance that people rage, but they shouldn't be all that surprised.
I think people are going to run around the streets waving golf clubs, are they not?
Maybe.
I mean, maybe the temperature because the Padres has folks feeling like that right now, but I wouldn't be surprised. It seems like things that we should definitely do.
Oh, yeah, fun things in San Diego? Let's just send them somewhere else.
We say, nah, no thank you.
Because do we really want, like, Pebble Beach to get it? No, we don't want Pebble Beach to get it.
Maybe we do.
All these business owners around here.
To your point, it seems like a no-brainer to bring it here. But
they can leave up the stuff so that people can watch.
I'm concerned with how Jason Day said that at the end, though.
Like, yeah, me too.
That makes me believe that he knows that maybe there's a chance the city doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, that's why. It just depends on if the city wants to hold it. So, Chris, you are talking about the city in the way of, it doesn't know what it's doing when it comes to sports events.
They haven't been. Well, stadiums is not a strength of ours.
No, it's not.
Let's at least say that.
It's not.
It's not a strength.
Do we rage if the city of San Diego turns down the Genesis?
You know, I will. Tony will. You will. We should. But I don't think the city's going to. I think a lot of people don't even know that Genesis coming here is a possibility, right, to be honest with you.
Great point.
But I hope that the people running it, Marty Gorsuch, who does the farmers, guy that I happen to know, and happen to think he's a pretty sharp guy, and I think if it works, they'll get it done. So,
okay.
Feel all right about it.
Oh, where do you have to?
You already did.
Yesterday, I couldn't remember to get you
in. Yeah, now you
want
me to go twice.
Yeah.
I'm all over the place, guys.
Number four.
It's because we're getting out on time. I think it's
messing
you up. I know,
it's messing with my head. CC Sabathia, Hall of Famer. We know that. Now, I saw this comparison on social media earlier, and it was way more interesting than I thought it would be, because when you read the name, you're like, he can't measure up to CeCe, but Zach Greinke is the other pitcher I'm talking about. And when you put all of their stats next to each other, Zach Greinke's WAR is like 15 points higher than CeCe's. He's pitched more games. CeCe has he has more innings pitched, more wins, and more strikeouts, and a championship. Everything else goes to Zach Greinke as, winning the stat war between the two. So, Chris, if CeCe is a first ballot Hall of Famer, is Zach Greinke a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Not necessarily. They both have a Cy Young, right?
Yes.
Both have six All-Stars.
Yep.
Similar.
Both have six, and they. You know, CeCe also has a championship. Zach Greinke does not.
Yeah. But still not necessarily. There's somehow, I feel like CeCe Sabathia's footprint is just larger than Zach Greinke's.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly why that is. Maybe he's pitched a few more important games than Zach Greinke has, or maybe he's pitched a few more important games that I remember than Zach. Just CeCe seems like he was a kind of a towering strength there on the hill. Greinke was always there, but I just don't remember him. So I'm going to say not necessarily.
Okay, Tony.
Not necessarily. I will say the same thing. I think, you know, similar careers, completely different personalities, and whether we want to believe that or not,
it matters.
It matters.
Zach is a little bit of a kook from time to time. Remember the day he sat on the mound?
Yes.
Waited for what was he waiting for them to
what
come out?
Was it crisscross applesauce?
No, yeah, because they had to come out and fix the mound.
Yeah,
right?
They had to fix the mound, and he just sat there.
I mean, not only that, I remember being in L.A. They literally had to not let him speak to the media. This was when they were going to Australia, I believe it was, in 2011 or 2012, beginning of season 2012. And he was like, they're asking him basically to promote the opening day and where it was going. He was like, they put the camera and the mic in his face. He was like, I don't really want to go. I don't understand why we're going. And so they moved him out. In his time in Milwaukee, I heard stories of him hiding in the closet and playing, was it War of Worlds?
World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft, like just hiding out.
Yeah.
CeCe was the exact opposite. Like he was your, it was like the best teammate.
He's running for mayor.
Exactly. He's running for mayor. I think the other thing, the war thing, that's because Greinke was a six-time Gold Glover. You know, defense.
And a good hitter.
And a good hitter.
When he was able to bat.
My man CeCe only played, and who was a great hitter himself, only got to play in the National League for the little bit of months that he had as the Brewer. So there were some things that I think prevented him from having a higher WAR, because in terms of their pitching numbers, there's really a lot of similarities.
Yeah, they're almost
CeCe's
identical.
Got about 26 more wins. He's got more punch-outs. He's reached that magical number of 3,000, which is a big one.
That is a big deal for whatever reason.
Right.
You get 2,998, you don't seem like you're as good.
And Greinke's just 21 behind.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's going to throw another pitch. So.
Right.
Not necessarily a first bat, but I do think
Zach is a Hall of Famer. Eventually, because the Greinke support will grow as time goes on.
I do think he is a Hall of Famer.
All right. Nice job, guys.
Getting closer to one if you haven't figured it out yet.
Oh, I got my one.
Oh, okay.
It's regurgitation.
See how fast you wrote this one.
Cleveland Browns coach Kevin Stefanski made official what most suspected after hiring a new offensive coordinator, Tommy Rees. The head coach is going to return to play calling. He said, quote, I'm going to call plays, and I reserve the right to change my mind, end quote. The announcement comes as no surprise because he handed off the play calling duties to Ken Dorsey in 2024, but the offense struggled and the Browns fired Ken Dorsey, and so it was the assumption that Stefanski was going to take over the play calling in 2025. So
that was a report that came out we saw earlier about that.
Yes. Tony, would you like your head coach to call plays or be a head coach?
Maybe you guys can answer this. This is maybe where I have dropped the ball on my football knowledge. If your offensive coordinator, I assume, is designing the offense you're going to run,
wouldn't he have a better feel for what you should call?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a new offensive coordinator, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Right?
So what is his job actually going to be?
He's coming in with new terminology, I assume.
He has no play calling experience, but he is just coming into the organization.
So designing the offense, but it's never called plays.
Yeah.
I assume that's what the offensive coordinator
I don't know.
Does.
We should ask Kevin O'Connell when Scraby gets his best friend on the show.
We might need
Kevin,
to do this.
Kevin is a coach who calls plays, right?
He is, yeah.
It does seem as though.
Mike McDaniels tries it.
Kyle Shanahan does, too.
I'm not mistaken. Stefanski was once calling
the
plays.
Yes.
And it worked a lot better.
So, I don't know. It would seem that the coordinator would have a better read on this, but listen, if I'm Stefanski and my job is on the line, I'm definitely going out on my own accord.
He's lucky to get another year after 3-14. So I think he's, you know, but we don't.
You're
need...
right. He is. I don't know how he survived as long as he has.
Because they know. They know they were forcing him to keep running that quarterback out there.
Yeah, they're looking. They're looking for a quarterback in their franchise, and there's one that was in their franchise. And he's now in Tampa, and he's played. He played pretty well the last couple
but you
years.
Know
in
what?
Baker Mayfield.
Here's the thing about that.
And that was Stefanski's deal.
It's probably in Baker's best interest that he got out of Cleveland.
Oh, yeah.
And is in Tampa. He might have never been what he's been right now if he stayed in Cleveland.
No, you're right. He went through some trials and tribulations as well, so that always helps.
Number two.
Back to the Hall of Fame, guys. 2026 Hall of Fame is going to have some new names on the top of the list, obviously. And one name I saw made me stop and go, Former Brewer Ryan Braun. Now, during his career, he was pretty good, but he was suspended.
He's really good.
PEDs in his career, so I can't really see him getting in if other guys can't get in. So, Chris, do you think he gets into the Hall of Fame?
No.
Okay.
Ryan Braun was in the Hall of Very Good. He was an awful, from what I recall, fielder. Well, he tried a little infield early in his career, and he really couldn't hack it there. It's probably the best way to say it.
I got a great story about
They moved
Braun.
Him to the outfield, and he was, you know, a little more doable out there. But then again, I don't think they think of defense when they vote these guys in, unless you've won 25 gold gloves.
Yeah.
You know, they don't. They say they do, but they don't, I don't think. Braun's really good, 350 home runs. Even won an MVP and a Rookie of the Year. I mean, that's, you know, some decent credentials, but the PED thing, if it's a 50-50, which I think it is, the PED's going to take him out for sure.
Tony?
I love him. He was a fun guy to be around. He was always always good to me. I tell you a real quick Ricky story. He came over from the minor league side. You've been hearing all about him. He first at bat, he hits a bomb. And we're on the road. And, you know, he threw a couple balls in the stands that day from third base.
Right, yeah.
I remember riding on the bus because he came into the game after the starters came out. So I'm one of the reserves that came in. So I'm on the bus, and I hear him over talking on the phone. And he's letting somebody know that he went deep and that he said something along the lines, they saw my arm strength, though, as
he threw it into the stands.
But at that point, I knew, I was like, this dude's different, right? I mean, he's in here like... He feels like he belongs.
He was happy about throwing the ball into the stands.
He feels like he belongs. But to answer your question, no, I don't think he gets in. I think he got popped at a time where baseball was actually cracking down on that.
That's true.
And the way it went down, I think, left a lot of bad taste in people's mouths.
Did he ruin a guy's career?
I don't know if he ruined the drug tester.
The delivery guy, yeah.
Career or not, but he certainly rolled him under the bus as if it was his fault, as we later found out it wasn't.
Yeah.
I just think that is going to keep him from any consideration.
All right. I can't remember where we're at this point. Chris?
This is number one.
Yeah, no, but did you already answer
this,
Chris?
He went first, didn't he?
Yeah, I took a shot at it.
Okay. All right. Sorry, guys. This whole new timing thing, and I don't have my number one written down, but I do have it.
Can't wait to hear this freestyle.
Dallas Cowboys are close to signing their new head coach, everybody. It's not Deion Sanders.
Someone's going to owe someone an apology.
I've been thinking about that.
He's a liar!
I've been thinking about that. The Cowboys are apparently close to coming to a deal with their last year's offensive coordinator, Brian Schottenheimer. So that's looking like it's going to happen. A lot of the reporters are saying it could happen today or even tomorrow, but that is... probably what's going to happen, according to reports. How underwhelming is this, Chris?
It goes right along with what my friend and partner, Tony Gwynn Jr., said. Jerry Jones is not about to hire anybody that's going to give him a run for his money when it comes to attention. And it will be easy for reporters to trample Brian Schottenheimer
right
on their way to Jerry after games. And that's exactly what Tony said. And when he said it, I thought, no, that makes perfect sense. So this is what's happening. It's underwhelming. But it's expected.
It's extremely underwhelming. And given the names that have been out there, seemingly hot as fish grease.
Fish grease?
He didn't interview any of them. At least to our knowledge.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't. We hadn't heard Ben Johnson go there. We hadn't heard.
Ben Johnson didn't want to go.
He was smart. We didn't hear about Aaron Glenn going there.
I don't even think Kellen Moore went.
We didn't
over
hear
there.
About anybody other than Dion, who was at home, who to me was signaling the whole time that he didn't want to go. He was trying to be nice. And then we get the Schottenheimer, which, hey, kudos to him. I'm glad he's going to get an opportunity to be a head coach, but this is underwhelming. And guess what's going to happen after week one? Game ends. Who are we going to see after the game?
Jerry.
We ain't going to see Brian.
No.
We're going to see Jerry.
After their loss.
Full 18 different mics in his face. Like he...
I knew I made
just
the right decision
team
with
to win or
loss.
Yeah,
I made the right decision.
This is par for the course.
What are you laughing at, Chris? My
great
Jerry.
Job, Rich Little. And you don't know who Rich Little is.
I don't.
He was the original voice impersonator way back when. He used to do like hundreds of them.
All right, Chris, what do you think?
Oh, no, I already said.
Yeah, he went first.
I said I gave Tony all the love.
I'm joking. That was right okay, on the I was just, I knew we only had a couple minutes to go.
Very good.
One minute to go, actually.
It is me.
Yeah.
We will send you to the happy hour up next.